remember being afraid of God. God was that being who chose whether I went to heaven or hell. God was the almighty judge who was watching to see if I messed up, ready to smite me if I did. I had to try really hard to be good, to make sure I was good. And I also had to try really hard to think of everything I did wrong and ask forgiveness, because if I didn't, I might die with some unforgiven sins on my heart, which would send me straight to hell. Scary stuff. Thankfully, that is not who God is. God is not in the gotcha business. God is not watching for ways to catch us doing something wrong. God is in the creation business, creating each of us from the time before we knew ourselves, a unique creation loved by God. God is in the redeeming business, redeeming each of us back into a loving relationship with God and with each other when we fall short of what we were created to be. God is in the sustaining business, supporting each of us in our daily relationship with Him through the loving guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our psalm for today, written long before Jesus Christ was born, is a reminder who God is and always has been. Yes, Psalm 139 affirms God's omnipotence, His all-powerful nature, God's omnipresence, God's all-present nature, and God's omniscience, God's all-knowing nature. But it also affirms God's omnibenevolence, all-loving nature. Today's portion of Psalm 139 focuses on the omniscience, the all-knowingness of God. A knowingness which does not focus an angry eye on us, but focuses with an eye of love. And that eye of love sees us and knows us better than we know ourselves. Unfortunately, all too often we are afraid that if people see us as we really are, they won't love us. We clothe ourselves with ways to mask our weaknesses. We put makeup over our blemishes. We tell only the good parts of our stories. We hide what is unlovely. We wear slimming colors or patterns so we do not appear overweight. We wear shoes that make us look taller. We put a smile on when we're feeling sad, in fear that we will not be loved as we truly are. The psalmist tells us that God knows who we really are and knew even before we did. We cannot hide our true selves from God. In verses 7 through 12, the psalmist notes that we cannot hide from God. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. while it may seem scary, that we cannot hide from God. Actually, it's a very good thing. Because God truly loves who we truly are. God created us, and God does not create junk. God unconditionally redeems us, and not because we have to put the best face on. God sustains us and is available as a source of strength for us, even when we do not deserve it. Once we believe that God is truly the one described by the psalmist, the one who truly knows us, the one we cannot hide from, the one who redeems us, the one who sustains us, what do we do about it? What does the psalmist do? The psalmist begins the psalm with a prayer acknowledging that God is the one who searches and knows, and ends the psalm asking that God search us and know us and lead us in the way everlasting. Likewise, we should acknowledge that God's knowledge of us, and we should acknowledge God's knowledge of us and welcome it. We should see God's intimate knowledge of who we really are and who we were really created to be. It is only through this embrace of God's knowledge of us that we can truly become who we are and who we were created to be. We need God. We need God to help us know ourselves. We need God to help us be who we were created to be. We need God to empower us to be the persons God knows we can be. The process of determining what it is that God wants for us is called discernment. It only makes sense that we are the best we can be when we're in alignment with what our Creator created us to be. This is what the psalm is calling us to do. Psalms scholar James Mays advises us to hear the psalm as the discourse of the self in relation to God. The psalm invites us readers to be open to the presence of God in ways, places, and times that seem too wonderful to imagine. God is not scary or distant or aloof, but rather seeks us and desires an intimate relationship with us, even in moments of adversity. Surely that is good news for the days in which we live. These days in which we live have created an identity crisis for us. We are labeled and categorized, and in the meantime, we've lost our individuality. We are reduced to a trail of digital cookies as we surf the internet, or to groups of numbers that replace our names, like the last four digits of our social security number, or credit card, or phone number, or date of birth. But even as our culture dehumanizes us, our God searches us and knows us. Into this dehumanizing society walks the Savior, our good shepherd, who knows us each by name. We are consciously created beings whom God knows and whom God has invited to dinner at the family table. Each of us is somebody special in God's eyes. As another famous poet has said, Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. End quote. Dr. Seuss has captured in a few words the uniqueness that God sees in each of us. When we see ourselves as God sees us, we find our deepest joy. And according to Frederick Buechner, it is when that deep joy meets the world's deep need that we find our true calling. May each of us see ourselves as God sees us and live accordingly. Amen. So now God gives us each other as family to sustain us, and Jesus gives us the table to bring us together. Come to the table not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you're strong, but because you seek the one who is strong. Come not because you know it all, but because you want to be known by God. Come because the Lord invites you to God's table, not First Presbyterian Church's table, not the Presbyterian Church USA's table, but the Lord's table. Come all who seek the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Great is the mystery of faith. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after having blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Will the communion servers please come forward?
This is the body of Christ broken for you.